Welcome into DGS on a Friday. Obviously, we're going to start off with, well, let's be honest, not great news. I mean, we all kind of knew where things were going in the last few days, and obviously have been communicating with all of you through Dave, you know, kind of what's been going on with his mom, and he let us know this morning, and obviously Rachel and Andrew are here. Amy is still here with us as well. We would let you know, Dave is obviously out today. His mom passed away this morning, so if you haven't seen that already on Facebook, sorry to have to break the news to you on the radio, but you know, this is as we discussed yesterday. You know, Mrs. Glover was a big part of the show, you know, big part of the conversation. And obviously, you know, 96 amazing years, almost 97 amazing years on this earth, which is more than a lot of us are ever going to get. And this morning, she passed away, as Dave put it, peacefully, quietly. And obviously now Dave and the family are, you know, going through what all of us go through when something like that happens. And I know this, and you mentioned this a bit ago, Rach, when we were talking off air, but I know Dave has really appreciated the reaction on Facebook. We've gotten tons of people offering messages of support. We got a few on Twitter as well. But you know, the Facebook page is if you want to say anything to Dave or to the family, that's the spot to go, the DGS Facebook page. But yeah, which, you know, we've been keeping you updated all along with this, Dave mostly, and then, you know, us through Dave, or Dave through us here these last few days. And you know, these are the worst and most difficult things to start conversations about. And as I mentioned yesterday too, you know, look, Dave is the best I've ever seen in this business of talking about something that's difficult or serious or, in this case, sad, and then eventually moving into the rest of the DGS and the DGS being what it is. And we will do that today. We're not going to do that now, but we will be doing normal DGS style stuff today. But, you know, little bits here and there, offering up some stories. And Rach, you mentioned that there are, I don't know how many, but a lot of responses on the Facebook page to the news, and some really just awesome comments. And
yeah, hundreds of comments from people that just keep pouring in. I'm trying to read every single one, but it's like people are commenting so quickly and so frequently that I'll go to newest comments and it just keeps loading and loading.
Wow.
I know Dave appreciates that a lot. I've been texting with him quite a bit today. And as you guys know, he doesn't have social media, so I've been screenshotting and
right.
You know, sending him particularly nice things. And I'm sure we'll go through and look at all the comments whenever he's back in the office next week sometime. Everyone who said something, it is such a fitting tribute because Mrs. Glover would love it whenever Dave would post her photo,
which
we did all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember one year for Operation Food Search, we posted her photo and we were like, if this gets 2,000 likes, we'll donate this amount of money. And it immediately did. People just loved to see her on the Facebook. So it's really nice to see all this pouring in. I did want to read, Wheels, if I could have a second here, this really great comment from Matt. It's less about Mrs. Glover and more about Dave. I'm going to try to get through this without crying, but it's just very nice. So Matt offers his condolences and he says, we're also grateful for the stories that you have shared with us. Thank you for exposing your parts of your personal life in order to bring laughter to your listeners. For over 20 years now, you've provided us all with moments of escape from pain, anxiety, depression, stress, and so many other negative feelings in our life. And I hope that you can find peace, comfort, and relief through your audience. We look to lift you up as you have done for us for so long now. Rest in peace to the sweet Mrs. Glover.
That is just a phenomenal message.
I just thought that was so heartfelt. And that is what the listeners are doing right now. They're lifting Dave up in this time. And we all appreciate it so much.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's sometimes it just seems like words when we're saying that it really helps and all that, but it really does.
Yeah.
Like Dave very much appreciates it and feels it when you're passing messages along or when we're texting him. Mm-hmm. You can definitely, like, it matters. So if you're feeling it and you want to head to the Facebook page, not only will those comments be seen, but they really do matter.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Dave is, he's doing okay. I mean, you know, we're all texting with him and as you're going okay as relative, right? Not as normal. Okay. But you know, the DGS family has, you know, we've had a few of these kites of thing here recently and, you know, it's part of difficult life, but that's the best thing about this show is that it's everybody living life, just doing it, you know, like the cast members, obviously Ron and Amy, your cast members, you know, Ron's not here, but you know, the two of them are, I mean, we're all part of this same group, and that includes the listeners. It's always been, I said it a little bit yesterday, I'll repeat it because I'm still kind of the new guy to all of this, but it's been amazing to me watching reactions from such a large and dedicated group of listeners that it's not just a group of listeners. It feels like it's more than that. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a lot of that's true about the KMOX audience in general, too. Right. This has been a part. This station has been a part of a lot of people's lives. But in particular on this show, Dave and all of the different people that have come through, but especially Rach and Andrew here for these last, what is it now, 7, 8, 9, 10 years for you guys that you've all been together?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, for the longest stretch, mostly you guys, but all the people that came before too, it's become its own community, maybe the easiest way to put it. And your thoughts matter on that. And we appreciate it. And I've passed along, we've gotten some on Twitter too. Not many there. Most of the focus is on the Facebook side, but figured we're going to, you know, keep on passing your messages to Dave. He'll be here when he's ready to be back. So you know, maybe next week sometime, who knows, maybe Monday, just depends on, you know, you never know how everybody is feeling. Anybody, you know, I'd probably feel like I'm going to get back to talk, you know, and I think we'll see where Dave is. And if, you know, whenever his time is right, it's right for the rest of us. And then, I'm sure we'll just continue living everything through the show. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And that includes our listeners, too. So keep the messages coming. They matter. They're being seen and heard. And, you know, you'll hear from Dave here in the not too distant future, but we're obviously in touch. You know, he's around his family and, we'll keep you updated on him and everything else as it goes along as well. But, you know, look, it's DGS. Dave has set this tone as our listener mentioned in that message for more than 20 years of being able to do difficult things, talk about difficult things, and then just keep the show rolling. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're gonna follow through on Dave's example as we go through the day today. So we've got a busy show. Obviously, Amy is in for a little bit. Sue Thomas is going to join us in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll hear from Dave Murray. Ricky Horton's going to join us as well around 2:15. Holly Thompson Rader in the 4 o'clock hour. So we have a busy show. It's going to be as normal as it can possibly be because that's how Dave does it. So how Dave would do it is how we're going to do it here on the DGS on KMOX.
That's Friday on DGS. Obviously, laid out the details in the last segment. Dave will rejoin us when he's ready to. We're gonna follow Dave's example and just keep on pushing with the DGS. That's exactly what he does, and we're going to do the same thing here on this Friday. Rachel, Andrew, and me. Amy is here. Ranji is not. And by the way, it's not all sad today. Happy birthday, Amy.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much.
We're having cake in the studio.
I'm on my second piece. Rachel.
You could probably have five since you're going to run so much.
Oh, my gosh. This is so good. Rachel bought this incredible birthday cake. It looks like a Funfetti-esque cake, which is my favorite from Schnucks. And this is one of my favorite cakes. And I'm so happy about it. It's delightful. I have icing somehow on my hands, which I now have like touched my like like pants, you know, so now I've got like icing and cake all over the place, so I'm trying to make sure I don't make a mess. But I asked Steve Moore for my birthday. I said, can I just have like one day without Ron, just one day? And he said sure, and so he kicked him out the
door. You had nobody pulling your chair out from underneath you today.
That's right. Yeah, nobody
calling you names,
vague threats. Pulling the chair
vague
out from- yeah, I wouldn't
they're pretty
vague.
They're pretty,
those are pretty
straight
direct.
Up
yeah, that's vague.
Amy, I wish you would die.
Just like he's a goofy guy, but
no, yes, everybody should know and, that doesn't he's obviously kidding.
And for what it's worth, I didn't ask for him to be gone.
No,
he
I know.
He had to be gone. I actually think he is, I think he's at a memorial.
Is he?
For a friend. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're trying to inject a levity a little bit here, but he is. So he did wish me all the best.
It's weird. I forget Andrew, were we talking about like birthdays yesterday? And was that in the office when we were talking about how I don't remember any of them at all. Like, I don't remember anything other than, no, I mean, like the, like when you're 21, everybody's like, oh,
we
get
talked
to go
about
out.
Yesterday.
No, I think we did. Cause you know, I've asked you how old you were and I know 50. I asked you,
And I was like, I don't remember anything in the 30s. I don't remember anything in the 40s. It's always 39, 49, because then you get teased about the next mm-hmm. year. And then like 18 and 21 and 16, like driving, voting, drinking. And then just every 10 years, there's some joke about you're getting old. Like, that's it. Like, in between them, they're really not all that noteworthy. They're just...
I was a pretty low-key birthday person once I was older. Like, my parents were amazing and would do, you know, birthday parties, and you'd have friends over and a piñata and all of that. But then once I became, you know, like a teenager, it was... Even my sweet 16, I think, was like my family. We barbecue outside. I just liked being with my family and hanging out at home. It wasn't a big ordeal.
Mm-hmm. Trying to remember how old I was the last time we had a, quote, birthday party. Like, as a kid. Mm. We had a few. Like, we had one for my 50th mm-hmm. up in Michigan, and, you know, a bunch of my friends were there. Like, that was that kind of thing. But I want to say maybe, like, 10, 11, we kind of stopped doing the whole birthday party. Maybe we did. You know what we might have done? We might have done things like go to Chuck E. Cheese with mm-hmm. 7 or 8 kids. Or whatever. I don't remember anything like that.
That's
but
a pretty good party,
that's
though.
Yeah,
party.
That's not. No, Chuck E. Cheese was the best back then. It was like the best arcade you could find.
I think this was my 13th birthday. For some reason, I want to say 12, but I think it was 13 because I thought, like, oh, it's a big deal. I'm a teenager. My friend Casey and I had this great idea, like, months ahead, that we were going to save up all of our money from yard work and chores to rent a limo for 2 hours and drive around and roll down our window and ask everybody, pardon, but do you have any Grey Poupon? Because that was the height of comedy in 1994. 1990. And I thought it
maybe
was...
Maybe in your world.
In our world. We thought it was such a great idea. So we saved and saved and saved. I don't think we covered all of it, but this was, again, pre-inflation. So I want to say it was like $300, which is kind of a lot, but we saved our money for months. And I think my parents filled in the blanks there too, but rented a limo for 2 hours. It was literally just 2 hours. They drove us around, you know, me and a whole handful of friends, and we did. We would roll down the window and say, at every stoplight, pardon me, but do you have any Grey Poupon? The irony of it, which in
for anybody that doesn't know, that was a commercial back then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So oh, I thought it was just like a fancy sounding.
No. So there was a TV commercial of like rich dudes, British people.
I didn't even know you didn't
driving
know.
In cars, and like they would pull up, so say, excuse me, sir, do you have any Grey Poupon? And it was like, that's the fancy mustard. So gotcha. the rich people.
What's funny is as we rolled down the window and asked people, we would hold a jar of Grey Poupon, which makes no sense because we already had it.
Well, you needed a prop.
We already had the Grey Poupon.
Yeah. You should have been holding up like a hot dog.
I know, right? But in our head, the Grey Poupon was what we needed. So I do remember that birthday. And then I remember asking if we could go through the drive-thru. And he said, no, you're in a limo. You can't make the turn.
Oh. Are you guys going to get some stuff to put your Grey Poupon on?
I guess so. I don't know. But I mean, it was, you talk about like a memory where you feel like this is the height of living. This is the and I think that was the last time I was in a limo.
I'm still trying to get past the $300 for 2 hours 30 years ago.
I know. Maybe it was less than that. I don't know.
It had to be less than that.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we probably saved $100.
Yeah, I was going to say, it probably wasn't as much as you. I mean, it's not. It was probably
the only reason why
bucks.
It was high. Because he said we really ruin his whole evening. No one rents a limo for 2 hours.
I see. So, that makes sense because you do it for 2 hours. It's the whole day.
It's the whole evening. So I want to say that's why it was.
I believe that.
In our child minds, we thought, oh, well, this will be not that bad for 2 hours. But he said, I don't care if you have me for 30 minutes. It's going to block out my whole evening. Mm.
When you guys, Rach and Andrew, how old were you guys? Like, do you remember childhood birthdays and like, did they stop at some point?
You know,
how old was I at my birthday? Going? It changes every year.
No, dummy. How it was, how you guys did it. Like, did you do parties until you were 15 years old or did they, was there a year where you're like, I know as a teenager, I didn't want to have my friends at my house.
Why?
Why?
Weird.
Oh no, it's more about them being at my house around my parents.
What?
I would rather go somewhere with my friends than be at home.
I see what you're saying.
At that age, I did not want to be around mom and dad.
I get it.
But they would come over on regular days, right, to hang out?
Sometimes, yeah. But mostly if we're going to be like playing basketball outside or something. But I was not big on the whole, like, once I was a teenager, I didn't want to be around my parents.
Oh my gosh. I always want to be around my parents.
What's that?
I always want to be around my parents. I think they're trying to get rid of us now.
But when I was a teenager, I didn't want to be there. I was like, anywhere else, please. Drop us off somewhere.
I always had very low-key birthday parties. Yeah. I remember one year, I mean, I asking for a party at Raging Rivers and then getting...
Oh, that would be awesome.
And, like, my mom said yes and was totally fine with it. And then I got, like, anxiety about it and canceled it. I was such a weird little kid.
No.
Yeah. I was like, it'll be too expensive. Or it's like, worrying about things that, like, it wasn't a big deal, but I just had anxiety about it. But I remember one year, my favorite birthday, I think, was very low-key, but it was so fun. Mm-hmm. It was the year The Parent Trap came out with Lindsay Lohan, and we went to go see that in theaters, and we went to McDonald's, and I was like, I'm living the high life. Like, it literally doesn't get any better than this, the best movie I had ever seen in my life up until that point.
That movie holds up, and I bet that was the best birthday party.
It was fun.
We saw it in the theater, and when Dennis Quaid doesn't pick Meredith, because he picks like the girls and the other lady over Meredith, the mean girl, and he says the like them T-H-E-M them get the picture. Do you remember that scene?
Mm-hmm.
The whole theater clapped in the theater we went to. They're like, yes,
it's a good one. I think Wheels would like this movie.
You would.
Probably not.
T-H-E-M-M.
Amy, did you know it's my goal for the show to make Wheels watch movies that he would never normally watch and then
have him do reactions to them? How is that not already a segment? I know.
We need to pick a movie, pick a segment.
I'll do it. I'm sure I won't be happy about it.
I'm going to make you watch like Cinderella.
Because that'll be hours that I should be playing video games. I'm going to be sitting there rage watching Fried Green Tomatoes.
It's a good movie.
You'd like these movies.
Yeah, I would not.
You should watch Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia is great.
Oh, God. Just shoot me, man.
It's already going so well.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's 1:30 on DGS. Rachel, Andrew, me, and Amy, the four of us hanging out. I just want to get into this because I think, Andrew, this one might be most meaningful to you and me, but I don't want to leave you guys out of this either, Amy.
And the ladies?
No.
The girls don't get this topic.
Rachel will get it.
Girls don't want to hear about lightsabers.
Amy probably will not get it because I'm guessing that Amy has probably never had a boneless wing. Have you eaten a boneless wing?
No.
Right. Okay. But you'll still understand the theory, right?
Yes.
Because you have to think so.
Because
hard.
There's also the Ohio Supreme Court involved in this. Amy part.
Did you see this story? I even know how the decision was.
I know.
So
I just want to say,
Kevin's like, the Ohio Supreme Court gonna be there.
Yeah. She's like, Amy's like, I'm in.
The Ohio Supreme Court's gonna be there. Yeah. I guess I'll go to the dentist.
So the Ohio
SCOTUS
Supreme Court
Brotus.
Is just wrong. The Ohio Supreme Court is just wrong. They ruled that if you find a bone in boneless wings, the restaurant is not culpable for any damage you incur.
Well,
so there was a customer who ordered boneless wings and was eating the boneless wings and bit into them and found a bone, accidentally swallowed part of it. It did some damage. He tried to sue the restaurant. This is the end of all of that process. Mm-hmm. And the Ohio Supreme Court says you have no expectation of safety when it comes to ordering boneless wings. I think they are wrong. If it says boneless, it needs to be boneless. The end. Sorry.
Okay. But what about deboned fish? There's always a bone. Like, you know,
but
it's
they're
hard.
Tiny.
But they can.
Chicken bones are not tiny.
You can choke on a fish bone.
You can, and I have, and it sucks, but it's not the end of the world compared to a chicken bone.
That would be funny to see.
Yeah. How big of a bite are you taking of these boneless chicken wings?
My guess is you just throw the whole fish. They're just chicken nuggets. I don't know why we call them boneless wings.
Yeah,
they're chicken nuggets.
Yeah, it is silly to call them boneless wings.
It's just a marketing thing, I know, but like, guy probably just popped the whole thing in his mouth. although you would think you would have found it in the chewing. But apparently, I don't know how big this bone was.
Some of us don't chew.
Yeah, I don't think it was a giant bone. I think it was probably a small like piece of one that had been broken up in all of the processing. And I'm sorry, but I think if you advertise something as not having a hard object in it, it should not be there.
This is huge. This is actually kind of a huge decision. As we have learned from the DGS about the concepts of precedent, this will potentially have wide-ranging consequences across the entire meat industry, really, I would think.
Well, like, okay, did they decide...
Some of us eat chicken wings, okay, Amy? This is important to some people.
Did they decide... Well, I eat a lot of chicken. I am a huge fan of chicken.
You are in no danger of eating a chicken bone in a wing.
Well, no, look...
What percentage of bone can be in a chicken wing before it is no longer deemed boneless?
Kevin, please consult the...
It says less. It means boneless. It means none. That means none.
But there's always some. Kind of like there should be no feces in our food, but there's always some percentage of feces.
But the advertising doesn't say no poop.
Well, come on. It just says
poopless wings.
I'm going to go with the poopless wings, I think.
If you're advertising that the thing does not have it, it should not have it.
Now I feel a little worried now that I've never seen that advertisement. I wasn't thinking about it before she said that, but now I kind of am.
So I'm obviously part of this is I'm exaggerating for the purpose of fun, but part of this is also real because there are people with allergies.
And
if
bones?
In general. So if you're saying that a restaurant advertising, if you're saying that there's a restaurant that is saying something doesn't have that it doesn't have gluten, that it doesn't have peanuts, and then it does, my guess is you're probably liable. Why is that different for bone fragments?
I kind of look at this the same way as whenever you get regular fries and then they just have a curly fry in there. Like, they're not intentionally trying to screw up your day with the curly fry. Yeah. It was just a little mistake that happened.
Like, I got a can of SpaghettiOs one time, and it had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle head in it.
Mm-hmm.
From the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle SpaghettiOs.
But based on this...
I am loving Amy's diet of SpaghettiOs and birthday cakes, by the way.
I'm trying to figure this out. Yeah. Like,
but SpaghettiOs do not get enough credit.
The ruling here says, though, that the restaurant had no obligation to ensure that there were no bones in the boneless wings. That's basically what they're saying. So do they then have an obligation to make sure there are no peanuts in something if they say this has no peanuts? If they're saying this is gluten-free, do they have a responsibility to if you have an allergic reaction to gluten because there's something in there? Like, I don't understand why we can differentiate it. If you are making a claim about a product, that product should live up to that claim be a danger to somebody.
Legally, and when it does come to food safety and when it comes to food regulation, allergies are categorized differently.
Choking?
Well, but I mean, like, you could get a bone, he won't maybe necessarily choke, but I mean, I think we can all agree.
But the guy did, though. He did. And he suffered damage from it.
He should have chewed that.
I know.
More.
I kind of feel like this guy sounds like a real party pooper.
I'm just saying. Where's the line at it? Because I think that's because the ruling was essentially they don't have any duty to provide what they say they're providing.
They're poopless rings.
Yeah, poopless wings.
No,
I don't understand why this is as complicated as it seems. Like, why you're saying it doesn't have the thing in there? That thing is in there. That thing did damage to a human that ate the food. How is there no responsibility to the producers of the food?
I think because they would say that it is a percentage or a likelihood so low out of the however many hundreds of thousands or millions of pounds of chicken wings that they serve that to have one, you know, bone fragment in there is effectively boneless. I mean, unless you're trying to be so punitive for a company that has successfully served however many hundreds of thousands of pounds of wings and then a bone fragment gets in there, I don't think our legal system is there to go, ha, gotcha.
But they do it with all kinds of products. People get injured with simple, stupid things that is basically user error, and people win millions of dollars for that. I mean, somebody sued, I believe it was Schwinn, because there wasn't a sticker on the bike that said might be dangerous to ride at night. And that lawsuit basically put Schwinn out of business, if I remember correctly.
So I think it's our litigious attitudes here.
I'm just looking at Fox Business here because I had seen the headline, as I think a lot of people had, but now I'm diving into it. So I guess the ruling said that boneless wings refers to a cooking style and that this person should have been on guard against bones since it's common knowledge that chickens have bones.
This is why I'm saying that the Supreme Court in Ohio is full of crap. When something says, guys, there's no bones in this. That's what it says. That is the name. It says boneless.
I think there's also...
And you should not expect that to be in there. If I say this is a vegan dish, there should be no meat contamination.
But the whole point in the law, there's a lot of times they use the phrase a reasonable person would assume, and a reasonable person would assume correctly that there are no bones. And again, you could say, aha, gotcha, and this type of litigation happens all the time, but I also think it's this type of litigation that really discourages, I think, businesses, or it costs mom and pop shops more money, and really it put small companies and small businesses at a disadvantage because they can't afford all of these lawsuits because they are not 100% faultless all the time. And so I would say overly litigious society hurts small business, hurts restaurants, until finally people just stop offering things. How many times have we seen it in business, in whether it is a food product, a restaurant, an activity, where we say, well, yeah, we need to stop doing that because people just, you know, they're going to sue, or we saw what happened over in Ohio or in California, and we can't take that chance. I get what you're saying, but I think we are so quick to be litigious that we don't realize we're actually hurting companies, businesses, small restaurants, etc.
Right, but if we don't, then the companies become more careless.
But I don't even know who this is, I don't think they're trying to kill people with bones.
That's not the question.
Chicken.
That's not the question. Nobody thinks they're trying to hurt people. That's not the argument.
So if you misspeak and I listen, and I don't listen to, you know, say I don't listen for 12 hours, but I hear you, you misspeak, you come back the next segment or the next hour, you correct yourself, but I act on a piece of information you said, and I say, you know what, I missed this, or I missed a meeting because I was in traffic because Kevin Wheeler said the wrong street, and I go back and I sue you, and I sue KMOX, and you say, whoa, Kevin Wheeler is a good guy. Doesn't matter, because by suing him, I'm going to make him try harder. Of course that's not how it works.
No, but that's why rules and laws exist.
But we think of how many times you've misspoken.
I mean, if we just simply say, right, but misspeaking on directions when you could have easily gotten directions in another way is not the same as me saying,
you shouldn't trust me?
No, my argument is that if somebody is giving you a thing, a physical thing, and they say, there is nothing in this that can hurt you, but then there's something in there that can hurt you, that's a problem.
I think no different than the trusted voice of St. Louis. Kevin Wheeler names a street. It's the wrong street. I go that way. I miss something important, a funeral, a wedding, a meeting. I then, by that logic, should be able to sue you and KMOX because
it is so important. Amy, that's not even close to the same thing.
Is it?
It's not even close to the same thing. Where in my description of any of this am I saying, I am never wrong? There is no wrong in me. I never give wrong directions
wrongless.
Or anything. I mean, right. Yeah, this is wrongless information.
That's where we'd get into some trouble.
And by the way, I think the bigger problem in all of this is the fact that juries aren't smart enough in how they handle things. So, yeah, maybe somebody should be sued, but it doesn't mean you should win $8 million. Maybe you should just win the cost of your medical coverage that you incurred because of all this. Maybe it shouldn't be you get rich because somebody screwed up. Now, so I'm not trying to argue that the whole system is okay. It's not. There are legitimate problems. But I have a problem with any business saying this is not in this product, and then it turns out it is, because as we've seen, it can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. If it's an allergy situation, it can end someone's life. Are we saying that if somebody advertises this as being without whatever,
allergens are regulated differently. Known allergens are regulated differently.
I understand, but it's the point. The point is about the claim. The claim is, I mean, like it is. I know it's a common name, right? Boneless wings, but you're saying that, you know, those wings that have bones in them, these aren't those. These are different. They don't have the bones in them. We have taken the care to remove the bones, or, you know, in more accurately, process the rest of the chicken. And I guess that would be also the point, too. The processing is where this went wrong. It's not the people that made that cooked them up at the restaurant, right? Because I'm sure they didn't just make the chicken in the back and then bread it and go. Usually you're buying those types of things from some kind of distributor. And then you prepare them, put your sauces on there and everything. I mean, I'm sure there are places that are, you know, doing those things by hand. But and maybe this place that in Ohio is doing that. Mm-hmm. But we allow for the more lax production because it's cheaper to do it faster. And doing it faster ends up leading to a bone that ends up caught in someone's throat and doing damage to their esophagus. And then the ruling is, well, you should have known the thing that they said wasn't in there might be in there.
On a semi-related note, going boneless is one of my strategies, was one of my strategies whenever, you know, attacked or tackled by a sibling. If you've ever had like a sibling like grab you or wrestle you.
You go limp.
You go limp. You go boneless. It is the only tactic I have. I'm not a very good fighter. I'm not very strong. But going boneless is my number one defense mechanism.
Does it work?
Oh my gosh. Especially the bigger you get. Yeah. Like when you go boneless, it's like anyone can pick up like a baby that's kind of squirming, but when the baby is like completely boneless, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like hard to hold the baby. So now imagine a teenager going boneless. They're impossible to fight. You can't move them anywhere. That's my strategy. Andrew gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Going boneless works.
And the babies do still have bones, just so everybody's clear.
Happy birthday, Amy. All right, DGS on a Friday. We're going to be checking in with Ricky Horton in about 20 minutes. Sue Thomas is going to join us after the top of the hour news. Let's see what else. Oh, Dave Murray, Holly Thompson Raider, going to be a busy show. Andrew, we talked a little bit, I think, yesterday about the new TV deal. Rachel brought up in the news the new NBA TV deal and all the money. You were very excited about a certain song coming back.
My echoes and on. Yeah. No, this will be a lot of fun. Where can we find it here? Oh, whoops. Yeah.
I'm like, that's it?
Sorry. I messed it up, everybody. It's super loud.
So you're a big round ball rock guy?
I just think it's fun. You know, in like the 90s and stuff, you'd hear the song, and it just, you knew it was time for NBA action. Now, as I would like to remind everybody, if this comes at the cost of Inside the NBA, which is probably the strongest sports show, in my opinion, that's ever existed.
Yeah.
Then it's absolutely not worth it.
Well, if this goes through,
Amazon has been pursuing them from what I hear.
Yeah, but I don't think they can call it Inside the NBA, but it'll have to be some other thing.
But
they can try to get all four of those
guys.
Ernie Johnson's not leaving. Ernie Johnson has said he's not leaving TNT.
Oh, interesting.
I believe he said that a while back. Maybe that could change.
Interesting.
But also, there's the one development.
Ernie's an important part of that show.
Yeah, he is. He's the driver.
He's the straight man.
Yep, he's the driver. He's the one that keeps everybody on track.
It's Shaq and Chuck, nothing's getting done.
No, not with them or Kenny Smith or any of the other guys. But turns out Warner Brothers is now suing to try to stop this. They said the NBA was unfair in their negotiations. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were like not acting in good faith with their rejections or something like that.
I have a feeling they're going to lose.
Yeah, they're not going to win that.
I mean, the NBA can set the price they want to set, and if you don't want to meet it, you don't meet it.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the right to match the Amazon offer, and they chose not to.
Mm.
So I'm going to guess that this is just going to end up maybe in the NBA cutting them a check or something to get it all to go away. But I hate Round Ball Rock.
What? Why?
I do. I hate that song so much.
I thought it was a fun song.
It's great. Yeah, it's like best of the sports themes.
I grew up, obviously, with that being the song that would be like, this is your NBA game of the week, right? Like, that was how it was. NBC had the game of the week, and it was that, and I never liked it. Just like I've really never liked the Monday Night Football theme.
I like it. You understand me.
I'm glad you guys do. Did you know somebody ripped this off recently and put it into a regular song?
Oh, really?
Like sampled it?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, and I'm sure John Tesh was really happy about that. He's very protective of Round Ball Rock. Good for him.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.